and then go on. It is page 94 printed in top left corner of the book paper, so called, that is this PDF file of for Kansas Planet Mission. And the result of all this, I had asked Mr. Satura, I mean the human, the psychological result, says for it comes then a French which shall mean, and because of this our progress we are no longer afraid. And slowly I began to understand that this lack of fear was basic to the philosophy, the ethical and religious pattern which I noted down in my diary as cosmophilosophy. In the turn of events which were to befall me, I began to know the truest and deepest truth of this word cosmophilosophy, which is, of course, a very clumsy and even rather naive translation of what they call Amat Maina. In order to give the reader just one little idea of the many millions of different aspects of Amat Maina, I would like to mention just one of them. I call it the E.T.B. Ryan Danger Signals of God. All of us have seen, felt and touched these signals, but none of us has a real knowledge of their tremendous value. We all know about many other things, but not about the most important ones. And according to Amat Maina, the danger signals of God nature and the main reason for the longer span of life, these our friends from out, to scroll down, from outer space have achieved. There are exactly 11,420 such signals of their value. Can best be explained by some technical danger signals, the only ones we know and understand. Anyone having traveled from Paris to Madrid or from New York to Washington has seen the three or more warning signals before the first major semaphore or stop signal. This stop signal may be in Europe green, yellow or red. A danger signal passed by a train still does not inflict death by accident, since there is a fifth and last signal, and that is the final major stop signal before a train may hit another train. Just to mention cancer, because we call this book Cancer Planet Mission. According to our friends, there are 17 danger signals to cancer, and they are all perfectly noticeable long before the first serious indications. A slight fever, an imperceptible cough, a slight headache, and so on and so forth. Who really takes them seriously? Go to next slide. That is chapter 8. Addicts discover our planet. On the 19th of February 67, I wrote into my diary the name of our planet Earth in out of space language. Earth is Seal Hua. Planet Earth, I was told, had been discovered many thousands of years ago, but only received a scientific numeration as their first astronauts, and that was not E.T.B. Ryan's, disappeared on our planet and were never heard of again. The E.T.B. Ryan exploration of Earth and their official discovery was not what others took place in the year 1946. It was because of Mr. Hua, now the second command of Mr. Satura's spacecraft, that this our planet received its name, Sil Sil Hua. Actually, we translate Sil Sil Hua, we shall be surprised, as the word Sil Sil stands for our Krimoya fruit. In other words, Sil Sil Hua means the place where Mr. Hua discovered the Shiri Moya fruit. Again, this may seem to be a joke, but it isn't. ETB Ryan's, I soon found out, do suffer physically if they do not get enough new flavors. They are addicted to new tastes. Perhaps addicted is too strong a word. So let's settle for a bad habit then. But the fact remains that they are continually searching for new tastes throughout the entire universe. Having lived in Paris, they do remind me of an old French professor of mine who just could not live without his Coquevilles de Saint-Jacques at least once a week. Of course, there are other reasons why these people from a different world go on these tremendous voyages of exploration. They are motivated to do so to keep fit, to keep on the move, to be superior to others. What has motivated Earthmen to land on the moon, and what shall we motivate Earthmen to step on Mars and even Venus? In order to grow new fruits and exciting new planets, flavors, our friends have brought with them the most interesting specimens and vegetation, and they are real biological wonders. Some of these are cross-fertilized and transplanted with plants entirely different to theirs. Plants from our planet and others are used to produce new taste sensations. On the 18th of February 67, the day after my arrival, I first became able to observe the surrounding area from my position near the giant eye generator. Because of certain quarantine restrictions, I was not allowed during the morning to step outside the craft and meet other members of the crew. I was wondering why the ETB Ryans at all, of all the lovely places on Earth, had found this godforsaken green hell, perhaps the worst spot in the entire world, to do research. So surely, I said to Satura, you are not afraid of the human race, that you choose the worst possible spot on our planet. The climate here is perfect, Satura laughed, and said that mistrust is part of the religion of respect. But as I did not know at the time what their religion was, I could only guess that because of their different ways of life, they mistrust most of humanity on Earth. During many hundreds of thousands of years, the people of my friends have evolved from meat eaters to vegetarians. I was informed that the evolutionary process in their food habits also brought its wake a character problem. At first they felt superior to the meat-eating civilizations in cosmos, until Talayan, a poetic religious man by sound only similar to the Indian word Mahatma, Talayan, the greatest religious reformer of their planet, gave to the ETB Ryans what I translated as seven cosmic common commandments. ETB Ryans, I was further told, are prone to commit a sin we not know on Earth, and which is called urasiti, or love of overtasting. When they first found the tropical shirimoya fruit, they all went urasiti, a gluttony condition. We shall never be able to experience what these conditions really mean, as our palates are not so sensitive as theirs. Having stopped eating solid food, having forgotten how to kill an animal and eat it, they also have entirely different nerves. They have abandoned the idea to kill. No more war on human beings or animals except in self-defense. They have become planters, scientists, explorers, teachers, religious philosophers, cosmophilosophers, biologists, etc. But most of all, they have become the most trusted human being in the entire universe. On the 19th of February 1967, I have also noted in my diary the name of the Itiberian plantation, Mirim. On this day, I was also able to resume more harmonious assimilation with Siti. It was a fantastic experience to hear and see this brave and wonderful Siti talk to her parents on a two-way transmitting system, very much like our television. However, touching the device, I immediately became aware of the fact that just like the saucer itself, it also seemed to be of biological living cellular structure. Siti must have informed her parents about me being on board. The conversation was in their own language. I will also read the footnote there before I go to the next page. The word Mirim, I found out later, the Tiberians have taken from their Indian helpers, who know the nearby Mirim River by the correct name. But repeat the last line sentence. The conversation was in their own language, a rather high-pitched melodic whispering, very charming and, perhaps I should say, very humorous undertones. I still think that a lot of the things I said and asked and did, things so clumsy and earthen, must have put me into a comedian role. Naturally, as everybody was so kind and cheerful, I never became aware of this, except for the smiles, the telling smiles. Siti's parents lived in a lovely place, a place with flowers of every color and with plant life of every description. I saw many other homes in the neighborhood arena, all built on the banks of small rivers. At one time, Siti also spoke to a neighbor of her parents, and the A generator had gone directly into the inside of her house, also very charming, decorated with symbols similar to those I saw within the spacecraft. Again, everything seemed to be peaceful and relaxed. There was this magnificent garden I remember between the two homes, the river with the glorious water flowers I shall never forget. Nor shall I forget the ineffable charm of the parents. As I looked closer in on Siti's parents, I could not help thinking of the classic Japanese school of painting. Not that there are similar facial characteristics, but I observed the distinctive oriental politeness all the time, Sita had been able to be close to her parents. At the end of the transmission, the elderly people looked in my direction and repeated several times, "Seal it, seal it." Later, Sita explained this meaning, "Welcome to our hearts." To my astonishment, Sita then switched to a sport event, and I must say it was one of the hardest games I ever seen in my entire life. Of course, I'm unable to explain this correctly, but I understand that the huge amount of players, perhaps 7,000 young men, were engaged in a giant size ball game where a final selection of the most able and strongest also ended with the victory of the most intelligent team. To play this substitute for war, the young Itabirians used several hundred computerized electrically controlled gadgets very similar to multicolored footballs. I understood that not the referee but the different balls, in parentheses, perhaps also interconnected with each other, end of parentheses, have to decide the game. To me, the whole thing looked like football on a giant chessboard played rapidly over a playing field of about 5 miles. Decisions were made by those having reached a higher commanding status because of bravery and intelligent behavior. The harsh and often brutal behavior of many lower ranked players really comprised me. It seemed to be absolutely contrary to what I had thought about the Itabirians so far. I asked Sita about it the next day, on February 19th, and she explained that these events had prevented war and bloodshed for many thousands of years. And yet, these games, she said, made it possible to keep the inborn and instinctive fighting condition of mankind intact. There is also the genetic reason to keep fit, to be healthy through hardship and sporting bravery. After Satara himself had told me that war in cosmos is a possibility, I came to the conclusion that Itabirians, in spite of their rather unique history of peace, nevertheless do believe in staying prepared for the worst. The amazing thing about this so-called game, I found out, was this: it has no end. Just like our wars seem to continue from one century to the next, the Itabirian war games continue from time to time, exactly at the same position whereby they were broken off by peace-making referees. Footnote: urge to keep fit, without doubt, in part of the Itabirian pattern of everyday life, just as they decide to include their different health. Next page. The footnotes go on. The health was the last word. Health methods, and in particular the continuously computerized health checkup, seems to be part of their deep-rooted religious belief that in their duty towards God nature to be fit and healthy. That was footnote. And the next then is chapter 9, How Flying Saucers Operate. Until I had met Saturan, take a look at the time, 19 minutes. Well, until I met Saturan, I had not given much thought to natural force. I knew about the elemental force of volcanic eruptions, of a typhoon, even of forked lightning, but these were examples of uncontrolled natural forces. Of course, there are also examples of controlled natural forces. Windmills, solar batteries, and sand steam engines spring to mind. But the forces involved in these and other examples are negligible compared with some of the forces that Satura had spoken about. I was subconsciously thinking in terms of atomic and nuclear power as harnessed by man. These were as candle compared to the brightest searchlight when thinking in terms of cosmic natural power and the other advanced techniques used by the Itibirains and their cousins in outer space. I must emphasize to my readers that only science fiction called spaceships the four flying saucers. That is a solecism of fantasy. I doubt if spaceships actually fly in the accepted sense of the word. They are propelled by cosmic waves. A minimum fleet of 27 to 30 ships are needed for operating within our solar system. The power units or the carriers are at all times above the control and supply ships. It is the carriers that arrange for the power to be switched on or off. The three-dimensional fusion of the carriers accords with the cosmic condition of the third dimension itself, and this makes it possible to hit the target at a very high speed, much faster indeed than the speed of light. In other words, we humans on Earth are wasting our time experimenting with rockets. That is what I noted down in my diary after talking to Satura about their spacecraft. There will be little purpose in continuing with our mechanical way of life. These people have forgotten the use of iron and steel. They have created biological craft being absorbed, activated and propelled by tremendous dimensional forces. They have never gotten their priorities wrong. From the beginning of their civilization, they became friends with the power of their sun and surrounding cosmic forces. This is what I wrote into my diary late at night. Instead of thinking in terms of individual countries obtaining national prestige by being the first land to reach the moon or colonize Mars, the world powers should start thinking about the sun and putting that to work for mankind. Problems associated with war, cruelty, and population explosion would disappear overnight if nature were understood as a friend, if all of us would work together like the Itibirains do. We are not like inventors working on firefighting devices to be used hundreds of miles away, while all the time our own houses are burning around our ears. What we know about the source of life? What do we know about the power of energy of our sun? We all know that without the sun we would cease to exist. But what have we done to use our sun in order to live? The more I thought along these lines, the more I became interested in the spacecraft itself. There were actually three of them at the time I landed near the plantation. Only one of these carried crew members, the other two were supply vessels. Amidst all the different delights of the lab unit, the one and most fascinating thing for me to do was to return to the spacecraft in order to see, feel and listen to the many amazing wonders I was mostly unable to understand. It was Siti who explained a great deal of the unbelievable, the unknown, and because of her I was able to write down a few outstanding facts I shall now mention. Because of this friendship with Siti, you see, I had no fear. Because of feeling close to her, I dared to ask her the questions I could not have asked otherwise. The answer Siti supplied for my diary make it clear why, for many thousands of years, certain civilizations in cosmos do know how to travel by spacecraft. Only a colossal need, necessity of life or death could have forced the Itibirians and other advanced civilizations to invent these wonderful spaceships which are able to lift enormous loads. The undertaking, from what Siti explained, was within their capabilities, which are those of the furthest advanced biological scientists in the universe. Not their former age of iron and steel, but the modern life-creating biological age made the spacecraft possible. There is no mystery about it. And Siti said, there are many planets in cosmos where all water supply suddenly stops and where all plants, all animals and insects cease to function normally. The only solution then is immigration to the other planets where there is abundance of water and oxygen. Several hundred thousands of years ago, when the Itibirians became aware of the danger, they began to create the means for transportation for several million people. They did not know trains, freight cars, automobiles or ships, but they knew how to create new plant life. They knew how to use the forces of the sun. They were able to use vegetative brains, computerized memories, which they created within their enormous A generators with other human beings from other planets similar to their own. They were able to communicate, they were able to investigate, experience, analyze and learn from other people in the universe. Parenthesis, one of the reasons Siti had bought so many books and records from Lima. End of parenthesis. Since Itibirian went dry, our friends from out of space have looked at water as something very special indeed. It may even have been a psychological reason why they switched to a liquid rather than to a solid diet, why they became water scientists, flavor specialists, and why, as a result, they only had rudimentary teeth. Their homes after immigration on Itibira 2 were built near beautifully planted water gardens. They practiced hydrotherapy for internal and external cures using the right texture, temperatures, flavors and minerals of many different waters. As Siti told me, the Itibirians went back and forth many times to their dying planet, moving over 400 million tons of human life, plants, insects, animals, biological machines, work and lab equipment, accordion, recording devices, musical instruments, etc., etc. There has never been such a mass evacuation in the whole history of universe, so-called, I was informed. Indeed, only the necessity of survival had forced the Itibirian scientists to think about traveling on to other planets and to create necessary means of transportation. only because of the highly advanced understanding of all life-creating ways of nature were they able to create and test a series of dimensional filtering and prismatic type of life-receiving spice batteries reacting to the intercosmic force of color, light, temperature, time and other cosmic waves. That was Dawn on page 129 in the button of the paper. And it has passed 30 minutes as I intend to have half an hour, so I stop here.